Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu and for Glenn today. He's back next week to do the show, finally. Jeffy shows up as well. We apologize for that, of course. He hosts Chewing the Fat, the wonderful podcast here on the Blaze Podcast Network. We talk about, and we're still kind of talking about the shootings from this weekend. There's a lot going on. This is not a huge surprise if you follow this closely, but apparently this shooter has a far-left Twitter feed, including things like supporting Antifa, among other things, and Elizabeth Warren. We get into that. We have, we talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson. Now, he's the scientist. He made a very horrible tweet that he had to apologize for.
He actually said in a 48-hour period of time, more people die from other things than mass shootings.
And, of course, he was right on all the numbers, but he had to apologize anyway because that's the sort of society that we live in.
He didn't realize the outcome of the tweet would have on other people.
What does that even mean? It's so irritating. We kind of go into this issue in depth when it comes to the guns thing. What was the actual target of these shootings, the blame that's being associated from these, assigned by these candidates to all these ridiculous causes and reasons, and CNN fact checks whether background checks would have prevented these shootings. We'll get into all that on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK, which is the number to call if you agree with us. If you disagree with us, number to call is 4. Just dial 4.
Right, and if you're on a cell phone, do not press send. A lot of people pressing 4 and send, do not do that. If you want to disagree with us, just press 4 and wait.
And the reason we've made it 4 is because we wanted it to be really easy for you to get in touch with us, and you only have to remember one number if you disagree.
Yeah, because we want people to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, if you agree with us, you got to remember 888-727 Beck. What is Beck? You got it's 2325. Right. People got to figure that out.
It is 2325?
It is.
Okay.
It takes a while for people to figure that out, though.
Mm-hmm,
so we made it much more difficult for you to call and agree with us. If you want to disagree, just press 4 and put it up to your ear.
And then wait.
Now, a lot of people will say, well, I don't hear any ringing or whatever. That's just because we have a special system. We think the ringing is off-putting to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we've gotten rid of that. You'll automatically go on hold, get in line, and we can pick you up at any time. Just press 4.
Yeah.
And then put the phone to your ear.
Okay. So good. Mm-hmm. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Especially if you disagree. That's great.
Yeah, like if you're a huge, let's say you're a huge Cory Booker fan.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, I got to tell everybody in America how good Cory Booker is. Just press 4 and put the phone to your ear. Put the 4 to your ear. That's what we say. It's our big slogan we've been working on. Put that 4 to your ear.
It's taken us a while to come up with that slogan, but I'm pretty proud of it now.
Almost too long.
Yeah.
You know?
Almost.
Almost. It's been in development for 14 years, but now it's ready to go. Just press 4. Put the 4 to your ear and tell us about Cory Booker today. That's the design of this program.
It's great. All right. Some weird stuff going on. We're getting some really strange information about the Dayton killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read about that? You see it in the paper?
I have seen it in the papers, yes.
He was actually driven to the site by his best friend, with his sister in the car as well.
So the third person was his best friend?
His best friend.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Drove him, he and his sister, to the nightclub. And then they were the first ones he shot when he got out of the car.
Right. So
how weird is that?
I was trying to piece this together.
So was I. I was trying to figure out,
where did
the AR-15 come from?
Right. So they got separated at some point. So I was trying to piece, as we were kind of listening to the different reports, and there are some conflicting reports about it, so it's still hard to dig out exactly what happened. But it seems like they went down to this nightlife district together.
Mm-hmm.
They got out of the car together. He was not carrying a gun at that time.
And he didn't have the body armor on?
Right. I think it was in the car. or in the trunk or something. So they went into the nightlife district, separated, my guess is, intentionally, right? He intentionally gets separated.
And went back
hey, I
and
can't
got
find you,
gun.
I can't find you. Went back, got the gun, got all dressed, then started texting, hey, meet me here, I'm going to meet you here. And that's how he wound up killing them. Or he he only killed her. He's still alive. So they're going to have
him. He did shoot him, though.
He did shoot him. So they're going to have a real idea of as to the, you know, the, what this day was like, what it was leading up to this.
Yeah. So he killed his sister. He shot his best friend. His best friend was also on his hit list when he was a junior in high school. Mm. They've come up with this, with the fact that he had a hit list when he was a junior. He had a hit list of people he wanted to kill, and he had a rape list of girls he wanted to rape. Wow.
Both of those things indicative of negative behavior, Pat.
Yes.
Is how I would state that.
Yes.
And if you want to disagree with us, press 4.
Oh, right.
And put your phone to your ear. But it's interesting because you look at this and it's like you think immediately. I think everybody thinks immediately, like, okay, this guy had all sorts of red flags, right? Like,
yes.
They're almost too bright to be red. I don't know what color they'd turn into. Mm-hmm. You know, guy has a hit list, a rape list. But it's still difficult, right? This was in high school many years ago.
Seven years ago.
Mm-hmm. You guys, you know, has major problems. I'm sure at that time, they did something to address them. Obviously, at some level, they thought maybe he was past them. I know there's been, you know, people say, okay, well, there was all these problems back in high school, and he was, you know, there's people that are saying, look, he was a major problem, and we thought, like, he might do something like this. There's also been the reports of, like, a bar he went to regularly where they were like, he was the greatest guy. Never thought in a million years he'd do anything. He was jovial, positive,
too.
Like, never harassed women in the bar, never did anything like that. He was just a great guy. When we heard the name, we said, there's absolutely no way that's the person they're talking about. So it is not easy. And we live in a society, I think, this is a positive about our society, is we don't throw people in jail before they commit crimes. Like, we don't say, hey, you know, this guy seems kind of weird, let's put him in prison. That's not a thing that we do.
Right.
And that's one of the things that it's one of our innovations, right? I mean, back in the day, whenever someone was a little bit off, they threw him in jail. If you disagreed with a king, they threw you in jail. If you had the wrong religion, they threw you in jail. We've kind of cleared a lot of that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
It's to our benefit. So it's really hard when you have the one in what, 10,000, 100,000, a million people who is, you know, who is weird and has these bad problems and then winds up acting on them.
Yeah.
How do you sift these people out? It's
so
near
difficult.
Impossible.
Such a difficult problem. In the documentary Minority Report, they were able to prevent crimes by, you know, they had those psychics in that milk bath, and they were able to foretell the crime, the murder, and prevent it before it happened. So maybe we should do something like that. Maybe we could try that, see how that works out.
I think we should do that. If you disagree, put the number 4 to your ear. And by the way, you don't need a phone for that. If you have a number 4 hanging around like on a piece of paper,
write it down on the paper, and then put the 4 on your ear.
You should tape it to your head, obviously, so it doesn't fall off.
Right.
That would be ridiculous. You take your hand off and the paper would fall to the ground. You gotta tape it. It might get in your hair, but when you get through it, it'll be okay.
Well, blow on it and make sure it's dry before you put it on your ear. That would be my recommendation.
I was fascinated by the idea that there is something called a porno grind metal band. Did you know this?
No.
He was apparently the lead singer of a porno grind metal band.
Who was? The Dayton guy?
The Dayton guy. Now, the porno grind genre, Pat, as you know, as a guy who's... you kind of did the Grateful Dead thing in the porno grind industry, if I remember
for
a couple years. He just
for
got
some
in a van
and drove all around the country.
Porno grind concerts. Apparently this is a genre of music. It's, you know, like heavy metal. I can't say all of the story because all of it is horrible. The name of his band, I can't really tell you that, but I could tell you that they release songs about rape. Now, how many songs about rape can you name off the top of your head? I can name one, which would be Nirvana's Rape Me.
Oh.
Because I remember it being very controversial at the time. And then I remember Kurt Cobain saying, it's an anti-rape song. It's not a pro-rape song. And it's like, well, we didn't think we were releasing a pro-rape song. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe people did. You could rape, murder. And then I know, like murder, you could come up with a bunch of them, right? There's a lot of songs about murder.
Yeah.
It depends on who you kill. Some of those songs really, like, are very positive.
I shot the sheriff.
I shot the sheriff.
It's right, a like, murder song.
Right. Like, and that's a, like, viewed as kind of a positive. You're on the side of the guy who shot the sheriff in that song.
Well, because he had it coming to him.
Yeah.
And it was in self-defense, so it was okay.
Yeah. The one I was thinking of was a Goodbye Earl, which was a song by the Dixie Chicks, where she, you know, her husband seems like a dirtbag, so he kills her. Kills him. And that was like, you're cheering for whatever Dixie Chick was in that particular arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of murder songs. Certainly you can come up with just a few, and I don't know, you know, I know you could name dozens, Pat, but I mean, in the world of gangster rap, you could probably come up with a couple that reference murder.
Probably.
There's a couple. Not as many though, when it comes to songs about necrophilia. I feel like it's a limited genre.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as many songs out there. There's not like a box set for necrophilia songs, but this band apparently had them, and apparently that's what this genre is. So that doesn't sound like a red flag at all to me. Like, I just, the fact that you're like, you know what, we're gonna our third single off the album is Necrophilia Nancy. If that's you, maybe we just automatically put you in prison, but that's not really our system of government,
or at least a hospital of some sort.
It does feel like a hospital stay might
be involuntarily committed.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just reading about the genres related to and similar to gore grind, but minor differences from gore grind include porno grind having simpler, slower, and more rock-like songs. I'm telling you this as if you didn't know already. I apologize for talking down to you.
That was a little weird when you said it like that, but I guess you're talking to the audience.
Right. Yes.
Because a lot of people, and if you don't know what porno grind and the difference between porno grind and the other genre we were just talking about.
Gore grind.
Gore grind. If you don't know the difference, just dial your 4 on your phone. Number 4. Put it to your ear, and we'll tell you about it.
Now, as you know, the genre's pornographic theme is present in the lyrics and the album artwork, which would keep them out of most stores. So,
also, the terrible music would keep them out of most stores.
Wow.
Also, the fact that stores don't really sell music anymore would keep them out of most stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so there's really a lot of things working against it. The album, the artwork, and the fact that music is no longer sold in stores. Those three things are having you can't keep it out of stores. Oh, yeah, and also the crappy music.
Wow. Interesting, though. I'm looking at the story of him, and he has a ski mask on as he sings and wears a very attractive dress, which is adorable. Or a sort of apron-like dress, kind of, and then maybe some shorts underneath. I mean, it's an interesting way to go for him. And you're right. It should have been a warning sign. There were a lot of warning signs with this guy.
You know, one I was completely stunned by, Pat. And so stunned, I dialed the number 4 and asked questions about it. And here's what they told me. This guy was a hardcore leftist. I was shocked because, as you know,
only right-wing people kill people.
Right. That's the only thing that can happen because, you know, and certainly only right-wing people own guns. And in the interesting part about this guy is he had a really far left Twitter feed to the point that he was supporting organizations like Antifa, which these are people that are anti-fascists.
Yeah, right.
They just don't like racism. That's what they are. I've read about them 100 times in the mainstream media. These are people who, look, they're just standing up against fascism. They don't like fascism or racism.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this guy was supporting them and wound up killing a bunch of people. What a weird, stunning twist. I mean, is M. Night Shyamalan writing the news? I don't know. It's so difficult to understand how someone could support an anti-fascist group that is just standing up against, you know, racism and anti-LGBT treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And that person could wind up being violent?
Impossible to believe.
Impossible.
Seriously impossible
to believe.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast.
With Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK, that the number to call. If you agree with us, you got some other comments. The number to call if you disagree is 4. And some people, I guess there's been some confusion about that, but I believe we have our first caller who has dialed the number 4 to disagree. Hello. You're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Stu.
Is this Pat?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Pat Gray?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Yeah, this is really
Pat.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love you, and I love your show, The Pat Gray Unleashed. I listen to the podcast every day.
Really?
On my podcast service that I use.
Okay.
And I love you. I love Stu. I mean, that guy's in great shape, huh? I mean, wow.
You think that Stu's in great shape?
Well, I mean, okay, stop doing the sit-ups, guy. I mean, look at this. This guy's amazing. I saw his wife on the show yesterday.
But
what did she do to get him, huh?
But this
You know what I mean? That's what I was asking myself. What,
really?
You thought
she was the lucky one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I sure did. Wow, that was a fantastic.
This is kind of a line if you disagree, not if you love everything we do.
I am really embarrassed,
yeah.
Pat, because I pressed 4.
Right.
And I put the phone to my ear.
Yeah.
And the reason I did so was not because I disagreed with you. How could I? You guys are fantastic. And everything you say is just, it's perfect, but I just didn't believe you.
Oh, really?
I didn't believe that if I pressed 4 and put the phone to my ear and didn't press send, that someone would just pick up and I'd be on national radio.
But it happened, right?
But here I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And wow, I mean, this first of all proves that if you disagree, you should press 4 and put it up to your ear. You should do it right now.
Well, thank you for that testimonial. I appreciate that.
And secondly, it must prove that not a lot of people disagree with you. You must be making points that are so airtight.
So powerful that
people can't disagree. But
That may be true.
I just want to apologize.
All right.
Because
I should
not have done that. I should not have doubted you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, with that incredible credibility of the Pat Gray Unleashed podcast I listen to every day.
Right.
And Stu with the abs. You know,
now you've seen his abs because I've never seen his abs.
You can see him through the shirt. that's how defined they are. It's incredible.
I'm looking right now directly at him.
Mean,
I can't see his abs.
This man.
So,
wow. It's like, you know, can you take a break? Can you take a break from the gym for one day?
Yeah.
I mean, he must live there.
I don't think that's a big problem,
incredible.
Really. But
you know, have a gram of fat. Have 1 gram of fat occasionally. The man is he's like The Rock.
Okay, appreciate
like
your call.
To me.
We're all out of time.
Okay, thank you very much. I love your show. I love Pat Gray. I love Stu Zaps.
Thank you. More coming up in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK, or, you know, if you disagree, the number 4, as we just found out, except for if somebody just checking to see if the number 4 worked, and he found out it did.
And he proved that it worked. And that was very nice of him to say, by the way. I mean, I do take a day off from time to time.
Do you?
From the gym.
Because
he didn't think so. But I mean, you know, I appreciate that. It's just I think he knows that, you know, once a month I have a day off. But he's thinking to himself, you know, it's just a nice way of being complimentary, and I appreciate that. And don't say those things about my wife. Yes, she's lucky. I mean, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to point it out on national radio is just, I don't think it's productive. I don't think it's productive.
Yeah. The president and his aides are seeking options right now to address gun violence that would circumvent Congress.
Oh. Wow.
Isn't that great?
That sounds wonderful. I think we're supposed to be for that, right?
We're supposed to. Well, do you support the president or not? Do you?
You know, that's on something like that.
No,
I do not. When he does things that I think are really good policies, which he's had plenty of those, and we've discussed them many times.
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely support him. But not blindly. And if the guy wants to take executive action on guns, That is not something I'm comfortable with from any president, whether it's Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Donald Trump.
President Trump is exploring ways to use regulatory power and executive action to curb gun violence after a pair of deadly shootings, a move driven by his aide's belief that Congress is incapable of coalescing around consensus legislation. Well,
good.
Yeah, because too many of them believe in the Second Amendment. That's why.
Now, that says if you want to infringe it, you need to do it with executive action, right? That's how that reads.
No, it says shall not be infringed.
But unless you get Congress to agree.
There's no unless. No. Hmm. Nothing parenthetical in there.
No.
Nothing assumed in there.
Now, a lot of the founders wrote in invisible ink. Can we see the invisible ink around that?
We did. We used the blow dryer on it and blew on it and then used the lemon juice, you know. And there we couldn't find anything.
Did we use the Ovaltine decoder ring?
No, we haven't tried that yet, but they should.
Let's try that.
White House officials said Trump and U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr are resolved to take action after the shootings. They're exploring solutions that actually make an impact as opposed to things that feel good. He's increasingly relied on his executive authority to address issues that have stained his administration, including the gun violence epidemic. 10 months after a teen gunman killed 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last year, the Trump administration issued a rule at the president's request to ban the sale and possession of the bump stocks. So he's already done that.
And completely unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And we fought about it at the time. It's such a minor thing. You know, I'm never buying a bump stock. I don't know anybody who would ever buy a bump stock. And bump stocks, obviously the one time I've ever heard of them used in my entire life, a lot of people
died.
I didn't even know they existed until Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That being said, you can't infringe. You shall not infringe. So the idea that you can do this without even legislation.
You can't.
Is really, really,
you know how you can do this? Constitutional amendment.
Yep. That's
how you can do it.
Absolutely. You can do it.
Right.
You know, the shall not be infringed really does have a parenthetical unless you take this amendment out.
Right.
And then you can infringe all you want.
There will be those who say, well, that takes too long. That's too hard.
Uh-oh.
It's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because by the time something gets done, people have had the chance to cool down, think about it, and think logically rather than irrationally through emotion.
Yep.
And that's the way we're thinking right this second. It's supposed to be hard to because these are important rights. They can't just be taken away through an executive action in the whim of the executive branch. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how people are going to defend this. How do you defend this? His defenders always defend it, but I don't know how you do on this particular case.
Well, it's common sense. Common sense reforms, Pat.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Through
executive action. I actually completely disagree with the premise, too.
So do I.
If Donald Trump came out for a set of specific gun restrictions in legislation, you're telling me you couldn't get 20 Republican senators on board with that? Every Democrat would theoretically go along with it if it was gun restrictions. You could pass it through the Senate. By the way, still wouldn't be constitutional.
Right.
But in theory, you could get it through. You could get it through, relatively easily. I don't know why.
Yeah.
If anything, it doesn't make sense to me politically that Trump would want to take this on his own.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And put the pressure on himself rather than have it go through Congress, where still it would probably be ruled unconstitutional later on. At least there'd be a good chance of that. Look, it is, of course, a very emotional thing, and you don't make good decisions about such topics when you're emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Congress is there. That's why the Constitution is there, to slow these things down so you don't
checks and balances.
Yeah.
We have co-equal branches of government so that somebody can stop emotional action.
Yeah. And we don't have to guess, by the way, how Republicans and talk show listeners would react if Barack Obama put in executive action on guns, because he threatened it a million times. And
yeah.
I heard people how they reacted badly.
Right.
And they should. And here's the one
positive.
And
if he reacted badly to Obama.
Yeah.
And executive action on guns. Where are you now? Where are you now? You got to be there for this too.
I would think so.
I would think so.
I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, look, people
president has done fantastic things that I didn't think he would do. And
absolutely.
He's proved us wrong a bunch of times.
Yep. And so hopefully, I think the best case scenario of this article is they're floating this.
Yeah.
To see how Republicans and conservatives will react
so
to it.
So maybe it'll be stopped.
If they react negatively, like they did, like they have on other, after the, which shooting was it? There was a different shooting that he talked about potentially doing something on guns. The American people reacted relatively poorly to that idea, and he wound up backing off of it. And so maybe that's the same thing.
Florida thing?
It may have been Florida. Florida, you know, but I'll give you this. This is from the Tim Alberta book, American Carnage. And I caught this as I was reading, and I was like, wait a minute. I had to read it two or three times because did this actually happen? He says he's confirmed this. He's got quotes in it from people who were in the room. Here's what it says. The only unusual part, this is talking about the Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer who shot a bunch of Republicans. You might remember Bernie Sanders as the guy telling us that Donald Trump's speech is responsible for the murders from this past weekend.
Jeez.
So the guy who volunteered for the campaign, not just the guy who said the word invasion, and Donald Trump has also used the word invasion, which is about as much of a tie as they have between Trump and the guy in El Paso. This guy actually volunteered for the campaign of Bernie Sanders and tried to kill a bunch of congressmen that were Republicans. When that was going on, as the aftermath is going on, this is in this book, American Carnage. The only unusual part of Trump's response was his fixation in discussions with doctors at the hospital and later with Scalise himself on the size of the bullet. There was also a question he posed to friends and aides in the days following the shooting. Quote, should we do gun control? The president asked. Quote, Steve can lead the way. He's got street credibility now. End quote.
Wow.
Now, I have not heard anyone in the administration dispute that account of what happened. And so I'm concerned because there's, if you look back at Donald Trump, there's basically three types of Donald Trump policies, right? The policy that Donald Trump has supported rock solidly since he came into the public eye in the 1980s, like trade protectionism, tariffs, right? Mm-hmm. Like he has been, absolutely rock solid on that policy since
consistent.
The 80s. Consistent every step of the day. Then there's the type of policy where, you know, as he became a Republican nominee, he embraced, and there were a lot of questions as to whether he really believed it. And I think his actions have shown that he had a conversion on that topic. I happen to believe with Donald Trump is abortion. He was absolutely a pro
he's been great on that
choice
too.
Guy for most of his life.
Yeah.
And I actually believe he's had
changed.
A conversion and he's been good on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't question him on that one. I think he's legitimate and he's a conservative on that.
Mm-hmm.
The third category is a conservative policy where you're kind of like, I don't know. And guns is in that category. I mean,
super committed.
Yeah, he wrote in a book back in the day that he was for the assault weapons ban. Like, I mean, it was not a minor part of his belief system. He's been very anti-Second Amendment. Now, when he came into office, he's put in Neil Gorsuch. I think Kavanaugh is pretty good on guns. I have questions on him on other topics, but guns is not really one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Guns are not really one of them. So he's had things that he's been really good with guns. The bump stock thing was really bad. He's had threats of gun control several times.
Mm-hmm.
This account does not fill you with confidence. And so now he's exploring executive action on guns. I'm nervous about it. I think if conservatives send a message, if his base sends a message, hey, don't go down that road. That's not good. It's not good. We don't want that. We don't want that for you and your legacy. Like, I think he will back off of it. But it is concerning.
It is.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
Also joined by Jeffy. Hey.
Have we gotten some four calls today?
A surprisingly small amount have called so far. I don't know if they're just not used to it or if they don't trust us. We're not going to be mad at you when you call four. It will be fine.
We've made it easy for you to get to us.
Exactly.
One number.
And it cost us a lot of time and effort, and we just appreciate it if Those who disagree would dial the number 4 so we could talk to them.
I mean, we hadn't really entertained this, but is it possible that people just don't disagree with us?
It
all
is possible.
Our points are perfect and airtight. I mean, I guess that's
And they
it.
Don't want to embarrass themselves right. by calling the number 4 and then just get pulled apart.
I did see Take Jeffy sitting the outside the office today with,
oh,
just,
yes.
with the number 4 against his head.
Absolutely.
He just yeah. wrote it on the side of his face.
Especially after your little red flag law analogy where you said that the possible, you know, maybe you, Stu, Pat, and Glenn were to, you know, I don't know, red flag me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we did discuss this possibility.
And then maybe I would, you know, maybe I would lose my weapons for only 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe 6 months.
But if I could, 6 years.
But see, the flaw to that is if I prove myself okay to the judge, within 6 days I get my weapons back, then how do you feel?
Exactly. This does not seem like a thing you want to try. And plus, I guess they said it was, it's anonymous, though, too. So you don't even know who did it to you.
Jeez,
like, just some rando person. I mean, think about public figures.
Yeah,
how
right.
easily that would be, you know, people could do that in theory to them.
Holy
I mean, it's
it,
there's a lot of problems with that.
Yes.
I understand there's a lot of problems not doing it, too. So it's not a crazy idea. I mean, smart people have advocated for it and, you know, conservatives. But it's man, it makes me really freaking nervous that mm-hmm. that the state is going to be able to take your guns away because some rando who doesn't have to identify themselves says you shouldn't have them. That's not a good.
No, that's not a good thing at all.
There's a formula issue I think.
And I know you were talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson and his tweet that he you know had to end up apologizing for, which was unbelievable that he ended up apologizing for it. But I know he went down the list of, you know, medical errors and flu and suicide and car accidents and just you know handgun homicides. But it must have slipped his mind to put an abortion.
Yeah, right.
Because that wasn't on the list. Oops,
I didn't see that either.
Yeah, that's a bigger number than than you might think.
The lowest number is handgun homicide, which was 40. So what's abortion?
It's a little bit more than that. Just a tad. In any 48-hour period of time,
it can't be more than 500 medical errors.
A teeny bit more. It's about 12 times more than the 500. It's 6,000. Abortions in 2 days.
Now,
that
we should point out.
6,000.
Disgusting.
Oh, my gosh.
That's only in the United States, of course.
Yes.
If you want to go globally, 138,868 every 2 days.
Which is why we use the stat a lot that 60 million babies have been killed since 1973 in this country.
Whew.
The figure worldwide is over a billion.
1.2 billion. And that is like revolting. It's like
it sure
turn your stomach.
1/7 of the current world's population has been aborted since 1973.
Well, how many are in the in the world? Is it seven?
It's just over seven.
So it'll be 1/6. Mm-hmm. If it's 1.2, we're talking 1/6 of the population. That is terrifying. So far, just this year, 25 million plus have been aborted
worldwide
just this year. And that is a...
Think of that.
That's a...
But you know what? Neil, to be fair, did say lives. And we don't know if these were lives.
Could be
broccoli. That's true. You have to consider it lives.
Like, it could be Volkswagen parts. Those certainly aren't alive.
No.
You know?
No. Who knows what's in there?
What if you give birth to kitchen utensils?
Right.
Well, you can't call that life.
No, that's not life.
Does it ever become life?
Hey, how many women, you know, you think you're pregnant and then an appliance comes out? I mean...
A toaster oven.
A toaster oven, for instance.
In the box.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's rough.
That's sweet.
It's rough.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can concern yourself with abortion or, you know, handgun violence, but really what we need to be concerned with is death by mosquito. Okay.
Mm.
Right now, there are 110 trillion mosquitoes stalking the world. Did you know that?
110 trillion
mosquitoes stalking the world.
Oh
so,
gosh. How do they know that? Have they counted?
Yes, everyone. They've counted the mosquitoes. Yeah, they've got a special mosquito counter.
We're doing a mosquito census right now.
They claim that on average, 2 million humans die because
of mosquito bites
every year. Now, last year, they said it went down a little bit to like 850,000.
West Nile, malaria, you can get all kinds of
Zika,
bad diseases from them.
Worms, parasites, they're top of the list of what's killing people.
It's amazing.
I mean, you can't even, I mean.
This is why the global warming thing is so frustrating. I mean, if you put up mosquito nets, mosquito nets caused you absolutely nothing and would probably prevent 90% of these malaria deaths every year. And you could save hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives, or or we can all try to reverse civilization and try to control the temperature.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That one will work out well.
Here's another thought. Bug spray. You know, DDT.
Oh, what?
Let's kill the mosquitoes. But no.
No, you can't do that.
Because
that is harms
DDT
the environment.
Was once banned in the United States.
There's a giant hole in the ozone because
had
of
to
that.
Ban it in Africa, too. Otherwise, it's discriminatory and racist that we didn't ban it there.
Which a lot of the people who died were like, I'd rather be the victim of that type of racism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's
not
unreal.
It's
so
nuts.
If you were asked, do you think the food that you get delivered, and I know, Stu, you use this, the food delivery apps quite often here.
Oh, yeah.
If you were asked, do you think that your driver may, dip into your food a little bit, take a bite before he gets it to you?
I had not thought of that, though I will say when I'm the Uber driver for my family, some of those fries are
absolutely disappearing
for sure.
So they surveyed 2015 Americans, this American survey. All these people identified as having worked as a deliverer for at least one food delivery app. The customers all think about 20% say, yeah, the driver's probably eating some of my food.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh, no.
The drivers, it's about 28% of the delivery drivers are dipping into the food. They're just nibbling on the food. It's not bad. Now, if you were a driver, the fries, nobody's going to notice, right? You
definitely take a few fries. The fries are probably okay. Like, if I could just get away with, look, they're going to eat some of my fries. Maybe I'll order an extra order of fries and market driver. And just let that, you can have that order of fries.
That's a pretty good idea.
Don't dip into the other order of fries.
That's a pretty good idea. So they just couldn't, 54%, we just couldn't resist the smell. 54% of the 28%. 54% couldn't,
oh, okay.
Of the 28%.
Of the 28%.
We just couldn't resist the smell.
Do you believe it's only 28%? That's a lot of people not admitting to what they're doing.
I think so, too.
Yeah, 28%.
I think so, too.
Because I'd never thought of this before, but you're right. It does sort of.
Consumers, they're saying here, according to this, 85% of consumers are now saying that restaurants should employ tamper-evident labels. Do we need more?
It's probably a good idea if you're a restaurant. It shouldn't come from the government, but it's probably a good idea if you're a restaurant to have something on there that people can't steal stuff out of.
But if I'm a driver, don't I just
snag a couple
extra tamper evident stickers, and after I tamper, and then I put the real one back on?
I mean, not everyone's a criminal mastermind, Jeffy.
Jeffy's always trying to figure out a way to scam the system.
It does seem like, the other thing is like, you just, like, if there's like a pasta, you just have a fork in the car all the time.
Right.
You just go up and have a couple bites of each thing that rolls on through. You're never going to pay for food in your life.
It would be tempting with that smell permeating your car every time you're making a delivery.
Sooner or later, it's got to get old, though,
yeah,
right?
On delivery one, you're watching what you do. On delivery 394, if you're hungry, you're taking a bite.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to take a bite of a sandwich, right?
You might just take the sandwich, though. Right? I mean, the orders are wrong. They're talking about...
They didn't deliver that one.
In the survey, they talk about food that's wrong, food that's cold, food that's not cooked, delivering, it's all under 20%, but... they end up, they don't knock at the door when they bring you the food, that kind of thing, if you're delivering it to the house. But they talk about, it being cold and not being admitted to.
They bring it to the house and then don't knock or ring?
Just set it in front of the door. Leave.
What?
Your food's
okay.
there.
That's
but
weird.
If you have the app, right, you're following the food. It's telling you that your food, where your food is, right? Mm-hmm. Most apps tell you where your food is. So you should know. I shouldn't have to tell you that it's at your front door.
That's amazing.
It does seem like a little silly.
Well, you
that
could
they
say
knock.
You could just say I did knock and no one came.
Right.
So I just left it by the door.
Right.
I'm sure that's what they do. That's interesting. I had not thought of that, and it's a little creepy.
And I know.
What a surprise! Jeffy creeped me out in this segment. That's a stunning development.
And also, good news coming from San Francisco Airport. Single-use plastic water bottles are going to be banned as of the 20th of this month. So you don't have to worry about plastic bottles tearing up the environment anymore, thanks to the San Francisco International Airport.
I have been so worried about
Thank you.
In a cold sweat at 1:30 this morning thinking, oh, my gosh, what about the single-use plastic bottles
in San Francisco?
And now it's amazing that you have
Rachel McCaffrey, the director of Travel Without Plastic, this is a move that will be welcomed by an increasing number of travelers.
Okay.
Will it? Mm. Will it? But it's concerned about the impact of plastic having on the environment. So, there's the plastic island. mm-hmm. out there in the middle of the ocean. That's just
Great Pacific patch.
I just heard it the other day. I think it was on CNN. Another person saying, you know what? There's this big.
No, it's just a. It's just a fact now.
It's a fact.
It's a fact that doesn't exist.
Island of garbage the size of Texas floating around in the Pacific.
It's
this
impossible.
Does not exist.
But it's impossible to exist.
It's amazing.
It's impossible. I mean, they could see my license plate from space. We have not seen this any proof of this island anywhere.
And by the way, like if you actually read about it, they tell you it doesn't exist. It's just an idea of there's that much garbage. If it was all in one place, that's the size of it.
Yeah.
Like that is a totally different thing. And so many people, I guarantee, even in this audience, there are people right now going, wait, that doesn't exist? That's not a real thing?
No, because
half of my career has mm-hmm. been talking about environmental claims that are BS.
Right.
And even I believed that there is something some kind of, in the middle in the ocean, because I was told it when I was a child. And then I remember I was listening to Pat Gray Unleashed one day, and I remember you talking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not even
it's not a thing.
I thought, well, maybe it's exaggerated or, you know, but I'm like, I had never have seen a picture of it.
Right.
And after you talked about it, I remember going online and they just straight out say, no, of course there's no island of garbage in the ocean. That's not how this works.
Yeah. One of the first to dispute the fact that it existed and to get rid of this myth was Ceylon. Mm. I mean, that's as left wing as you get. Ceylon.com. Come on. They that's not a conservative site.
Oh, not at all.
Even they did some research into this and said, yeah, it doesn't exist. I know it helps to say that because the environmental thing, it gets people going. It's just not true.
It's not true.
It's just not true.
But you know, we have the water bottles being banned at the airport, but they're still allowing sodas. You're going to end up having to bring an empty container through TSA to fill up with their filtered water.
I do like that they're incentivizing soda drinking, though. That I'm for.
They are doing that.
Did you see, too, the McDonald's straw thing? I think we may have talked about this the other day. They're like the one people that apparently had nailed the paper straw. And people were like, you know, this is basically like a plastic straw. It's not disintegrating in my mouth. It's actually working. And they had it. And then they found out later, that you can't recycle it. So all the benefits from the paper straw at McDonald's. They went away. You can't even.
So
it doesn't
weird.
Even recycle.
It'd be better just to use the plastic. Duh.
Yes, and that is the case every single time.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program, joined by Jeffy.
Chewing the fat.
Mm-hmm. Should we check out the podcast? Is that what you're about?
You can. You can check out the mm-hmm. podcast. It uploads daily, and you can subscribe and download daily.
This is Chewing the Fat. Okay, if
available.
I politely. Decline?
No. Okay. You don't have to listen. You just have to download.
Okay, download. I was surprised a couple of articles on CNN. The Dayton shooter had an extreme left Twitter feed.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, that is the title of the story at CNN.com. Okay. Wow. Now, I don't know if they're just saying just his Twitter feed was left, and he was actually like a right-wing nut job, but he just kept tweeting left-wing things.
He was fooling us on Twitter.
Maybe that's what they were saying. This one I thought was interesting, though. They did a fact check. On the claim, would stronger background checks have stopped El Paso and Dayton? And you kind of assume that CNN would come to the conclusion, of course they would.
Yeah, of
These
course.
Are common sense measures.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
However, let me throw a little M. Night Shyamalan twist here to you. What if President Trump is saying he supports them? He's supporting background checks. So then what do you do?
Then you're in trouble.
Then you're in trouble. Yeah. So would strengthening or expanding
By the way, we already have background checks.
What?
Yeah,
what?
We already have background
no,
checks.
No, no, no. Not if
In
you...
virtually every case.
Not the common sense background checks.
Yeah, the common sense background check where they do an FBI background check. It's only a background check in the way that it's a check on your background.
Now, are they going to check your background, though? Is it that extensive?
They will check on the things that you've done back then, you know, in your past.
In your past. By the way, one of the exceptions when they say, I want universal background checks, one of the things they're talking about is right now, it's supposed to be an instant check on your background.
Okay.
Let's just say the system's down, though. Okay. They have a window of 3 days to be able to decide, we have to hold it off for 3 days because it's not working.
Okay.
A universal background check, of course, would check all of these transactions. So if the system was down, you just wait for it. It'll come back up. And then when it comes back up, we'll check you. What? So I guess if the system went down for a month or two or 10 or 20 years, Oopsies.
You're just going to have to wait. Yeah. We're trying really hard to get it back up.
Universal. You guys wanted a universal, so yeah, it'll be
supposedly
universal.
That happened all the time under Clinton.
Yeah, that was very common. By the way, they say, would strengthening or expanding background checks have prevented the alleged shooters from purchasing firearms? The facts first explanation, doubtful. There's no indication that the shooting in Dayton would have been prevented by the background check. El Paso, he purchased his firearm legally. There is no evidence that he had criminal history and a background check would have caught it. So now that Trump's supporting the background checks, we can all say that finally admit that none of them would work.
You're listening to Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.